Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on a Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I was visibly pregnant. And the principal did what principals did in those days. Wished me luck and hired someone else for the job. I was visibly pregnant. And the principal did what principals did in those days. Wished me luck and hired someone else for the job. I was visibly pregnant. Wished me luck and hired someone else for the job. I was visibly pregnant. He wished me luck and hired someone else for the job.
Is it weird? That, I mean, maybe it's naive for me to think that you wouldn't tell exactly the same story everywhere you go, like in the exact same way every time you say it.
I think that that is a category of people that cannot speak off the cuff. That are people, they have to speak and practice and rehearse. I don't think it's uncommon, but when you're comparing something like that to Trump, who says something different every single rally.
And yet the same thing.
And yet the same, you know, same thing, different type of way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's just a politician because they stick to their talking points.
Yeah, too bad they're not right.
I worked, it was in a public school system, but I worked with the children with disabilities. And I did that for a year. And then that summer, I actually didn't have the education courses, so I was on an emergency certificate, it was called. And I went back to graduate school and took a couple of courses in education and said, I don't think this is going to work out for me. And I was pregnant with my first baby. So I had a baby and stayed home for a couple of years. And I was really casting about, thinking, what am I going to do?
So that's in like 2006, maybe? Before she started talking, she should have said, 3, 2, 1. And then she starts in this.
I worked, it was in a public school system, but I worked with the children with disabilities.
It just is so, I don't know, sure as heck getting Donald Trump.
Mm-mm. Does she not remember telling that story over and over and over again before contradicting herself?
Well, here's the problem. This is the stump speech she's got right now while she's running for president. She clearly feels as though, yeah, it's kind of crazy to me to see someone talk about being visibly pregnant and you know, being pro-abortion at the same time. But that's neither here nor there for this specific issue. But the point of that story is that she was a victim. As a female who was pregnant, she was a victim. And who was she a victim of?
The man.
The principal, as they were in those days. So she's doing something very contrived here. Well, there's a major, major problem with the idea that once, you know, it's not enough to say that she was pregnant. It was that she was visibly pregnant, which means that somebody could have seen her, passed judgment on her, and made the decision that, you know what, she's pregnant. She's going to be gone for a while because she's going to have to take care of this baby. We should do what's best for us and hire somebody else.
So in addition to this video that clearly contradicts the story she's been telling on the campaign trail, the Washington Free Beacon reported that the Riverdale Board of Education actually voted to extend a second-year contract to her and that they were disappointed when she resigned and said that they accepted it with regret.
Oh. Oh. Excuse me? So let's go back to the point where she's...
I was visibly pregnant.
Yes, check.
And the principal did what principals did in those days.
All of them are terrible people.
Wished me luck and hired someone else for the job.
That's terrible. That is absolutely horrible because it's a lie. And here's where I want to challenge the left-leaning media that doesn't want Joe Biden. Where in the world is Joe Biden? What is Joe Biden doing? Is Joe Biden okay? Is he still with us? Why is he not front and center right now? Is it have anything to do with Hunter Biden? Where is Hunter Biden? Meanwhile, we're not talking about what the Bidens actually are involved in, and he's not putting himself out there to answer a bunch of questions in front of microphones because a lot of the questions are going to be about his son and about his family's dealing, his family dealings, probably from Peter Ducey, who he just doesn't seem to like very much. But Elizabeth Warren is the candidate that it appears as though the people who are kingmakers in the media want to see be the president of the United States. It seems as though they've chosen her. And she seems to be carrying that mantle quite a bit. One might say she's visibly pregnant with approval from the mainstream media. But the problem is that she's telling a story that is a fabrication to a lie. And when she does that, she discredits herself. And if she goes through the entire Democratic primary unchecked, unchallenged on these issues, what in the world is going to happen when she gets face to face with Donald Trump and he's the first person who gets to vet her and challenge her in front of the American people? When she doesn't have the this is when you get to ask the hard questions of the candidates. You get to be on record. You get to address it. You get to put yourself and your spin on these issues, and you get to do it, you know, how it's like you might think that your brother's a real butthead, but then when someone else comes up and says something about your brother, you want to punch him in the face because you can talk about your family that way, but nobody else can. It's kind of what the primary is. You get to swing and sling, and you get to fight until you're blue in the face, but at the end of it, you better all rally together because you have somebody on the other side from the other family to take down. So you get the opportunity to get this stuff out in kind of what is a safe space in the Democratic primary when the vast majority of Americans are paying no attention to anything. And they're not doing it. They're not challenging her. They're not putting her on the spot where she has to answer for these things, and they're doing her a disservice. That's like any time a politician is facing a challenge or there's an unsavory story. If you're a good politician, you should go on a show, you should be in front of the public, and you should hope that somebody asks you the question about it so that you have the opportunity to react on your own terms, that you get to go on record and have your voice be heard. But they're not doing that to Elizabeth Warren. They're not pushing back on her. In fact, they're not even covering it.
Are you saying CNN hasn't run with this story at all?
Seems like it.
I haven't seen a thing about this. I think I might have seen Fox News run something on it.
Fox, I saw it, you know, last night I was watching Tucker Carlson. In the majority of the reason why I made a point to come home and watch Tucker is because Tucker is usually not where you would expect somebody on Fox News to be with the president. He will challenge the president, and he is very much so not a let's send troops here and protect these people and let's send troops here and protect those people. And I thought, I wonder how Tucker's going to react to this. And he was very much in line with the president and his decision. And he had people on there that supported that and people on there that challenged him on it. But he also covered this Elizabeth Warren story. And it's just shocking to me that the real truth behind that is that she was unanimously extended another year in her contract. She didn't take it. So she's lied about it.
Well, yeah, in one way or another, she's lied about it. She either lied about it the first 20 times she talked about it, or she lied about it when she said she didn't accept the job.
Think about how many times she's told that story. And in all of the things that she's wrapping up in that, she's trying to talk about how women are victimized. And I'm going to tell you what, I have three children myself. It is not easy to be of childbearing age and compete on the same level with men who are exactly the same age as you are, because people, you have to sacrifice more if you want to have kids. You just do. It is not equal. I don't believe it was created to be equal in that sense. But if you're somebody who is listening to the speech by Elizabeth Warren and you're hearing about how she was visibly pregnant, and then she goes, principles did as principles did in those days, that is like a dog whistle to reference back to the patriarchy, where men tried to keep women down. And the second that you became no longer useful to the patriarchy, they just discard you and move along with no concern for you or the responsibility that you're carrying. And that's a lie. It was a lie. And every time she tells that lie, she, in my opinion, discredits the cases where things like this do happen, because they do. But when you inflame the story beyond what is actually real, you diminish the importance and the impact of the stories when they are real. It's like the Me Too movement. When the Me Too movement became, if a guy looked at you wrong in the hallway, you could say, you know, I've had people treat me differently because I'm a female, and the way, and then you make every man scared to be around you. You make every man, like, there are reports now that people are less likely to hire women because they don't, in close proximity relationships where you are going to have to be in closed door meetings with potentially a male supervisor, that males don't want to be put into the position where they have to have these conversations with women behind a closed door, because who knows what this woman's going to say happened. And it's, if it's your word against hers, it's not swinging in the way that you think that, like, a fight for equality would swing.
It's crazy that that's where it's come to. You think about the Me Too movement and its origins, and now it's come to, well, many companies don't even want to hire women anymore because they're like, well, we don't want to go through the hassle if something were to happen.
Maybe everything isn't a movement. It's interesting for me to see how in the context of Me Too, how that the epicenter of that was Hollywood, right? Women,
yes.
Harvey Weinstein.
I think it was Harvey Weinstein was.
And Harvey Weinstein's reach in Hollywood was just massive. And the disgusting things that he would do and make women believe that they had to do in order to work for him because he was powerful. The quiet that they kept for so long, them coming out and speaking on this issue is a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very strong statement for women to start coming out of the woodwork and make the point that you don't have to abide by this, you know, good old boys club. You don't have to do what they say that you have to do in order to be successful. But you still have to be realistic in how far that reach goes. And when you have Elizabeth Warren making up stories about how being a pregnant woman was held against her, and going back to find out that in fact is a fabrication, she owes that principal a huge apology. I don't know if he's living or not. Probably not. How old is she? She's in her late 60s.
I believe she is in her late 60s. I
mean, yeah, and if he was older,
you would assume.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't get to spread stories like that and create narratives. She's 70 years old. You don't get to behave that way and be not held accountable. I guess if you're a Democrat in this media environment, you do. But if she's the nominee, Trump is going to have a heyday with this, an absolute heyday with this. The Native American heritage, the way she got into college and went through college, there's just so much there. And she's not being challenged now when it's safe. All right, stick around. 314-241-9797 if you want to join the show. And as promised, at 2:30...
I'll tease it.
Is going to do something.
It's an interview with somebody so big that they need no introduction.
Okay. Fantastic. I can't wait.
And it's coming up like right now.
If you want to see how hilarious it is, go to facebook.com/Annie Fry Show and watch Ryan make himself laugh while he's putting it together. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Well, our guest today needs no introduction.
Hi.
How's the family?
Good.
Hanging in there?
Well, you know, like everything else.
Let's transition to your career. Big things?
Looking forward to what comes next, obviously, but...
Can you share?
It's real. It's there, and it, you know, exactly what you would expect.
It is always so good to talk to you. You're one of the biggest in that industry.
Who is this?
And it seems like I always walk away from these interviews just shaking my head in this way, and then in the up and down way, not in the sideways way. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity.
I know your schedule's busy.
Well,
no,
I don't have time for anything really anymore. It takes up so much.
Yeah. Since that happened.
Oh gosh. It takes it out of you.
What is going on? I don't know.
But it is good to have an opportunity to share
everything.
Everything.
I mean, we've covered it all.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That's a guest that's so big, he needed no introduction.
I have no idea.
Who was it?
It was a hard-hitting interview that I did, and I thank you for letting me do it here.
Have you ever seen Between Two Ferns?
I was just going to say, is this Zach Galifianakis?
This is that.
I am not going to break character. I am going to continue to say that that was a terrific interview, okay. And we went deep. And
what happened? Where do we go?
As I have stated strongly before, and just to reiterate, if Turkey does anything that I, in my great and unmatched wisdom, consider to be off limits, I will destroy and obliterate the economy of Turkey.
It's amazing that Randy Quaid can't get work. Isn't that what he's saying? Isn't he saying that he like doesn't have that he's basically persona non grata in Hollywood now?
Yeah, I mean that's what he said, and I think he has a lot more fun, if that's even a word, doing this.
Fun's reading, a word.
Well, fun, yeah, a lot more fun. I think he has a better time reading Trump tweets than he would probably working in Hollywood, right?
He probably gets paid less.
Yeah, substantially. But hey, you know what? He's having a good time.
I wonder if he has like a net worth.
I wonder if he's ever invested anything he ever made.
Because he's done...
Nothing.
Independence Day.
Well, since the 90s, vacation, I don't think he's done almost anything. He did one movie. He did a vacation movie that was a sequel to the original ones where he was still playing Cousin Eddie, but it had nobody else in the movie but him. He was the only recurring character.
According to the very reliable celebritynetworth.com, his net worth is -$1 million.
Wow.
It's not good.
Yikes.
He's 6'5". That's tall. I'm surprised by that. He just turned 69 years old.
I was so excited for that new vacation movie when I saw it. This was back when Blockbuster was still open. I rented it.
Good times. Remember the smell of Blockbuster? Do you remember walking in and like, were you a Blockbuster goer in your?
Yes, I was. I loved Blockbuster, and I went to Family Video up until probably a year ago.
Those are starting to Family close Video. Too.
The one by my house closed, and I was very disappointed.
No, I had a friend that worked for Blockbuster for a while, and. On his last day, he decided to cellophane wrap every single movie in the store.
Oh my gosh.
So that whoever rented it would have to unwrap it.
Unwrap it, gosh.
And
he had so much time on his hands, it's no wonder they closed.
Yeah. They did everything about a year after somebody else had already done it better. Mm. Like, when Netflix was a company that sent you DVDs in the mail, Blockbuster started that about a year later, and they were just a little more expensive, and you got a little fewer movies. But hey, why don't you use us instead? And then they started trying to do streaming.
Blockbuster.
Let me ask you this question, because I feel like we spoke with Dakota Wood, who is with Heritage Foundation, in the 1 o'clock hour, and he was talking about the president's announcement to withdraw some troops from northern Syria. Lots of people immediately react and said, oh, the Kurds are our friends. It's very hard to keep my finger on where the majority of the public is about, do we have troops overseas or do we not have troops overseas? Like, this kind of a all or nothing thing during campaign season for the most part, like, bring the boys home, bring the girls home. But not everything's intensely more complicated when Trump's involved, because they don't know where they are on things until Trump does something, and then they know that they're exactly for the opposite. Listen to Pat Robertson.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say right now, I am absolutely appalled that the United States is going to betray those democratic forces in northern Syria, that we possibly going to allow the Turks to come in against the Kurds. That Erdogan is a thug. He has taken control of his country as a dictator. He is a strong leader, and to say he's an ally of America is nonsense. He is in for himself. And the president who allowed Khashoggi to be cut in pieces without any repercussions whatsoever is now allowing the Christians and the Kurds to be massacred by the Turks. And I believe, and I want to say this with great solemnity, the president of the United States is in danger of losing the mandate of heaven if he permits this to happen.
First question, did the president have a mandate from heaven? Second question, does Pat Robertson get to decide when that's been rescinded? Any thoughts?
I have no idea. How do you determine that?
I don't understand. For him to say that the mandate of heaven is something that could be lost, and that Pat Robertson has information that suggests that he would be able to see that. I mean,
I would like to know what that information is.
I want to know what mandate from heaven is. Like, if I know that there are
like you've been given an assignment.
Well, I know that people. I know there are people who say that God sent Donald Trump to become the president of the United States, and that is something to be respected. Like, as a Bible believing Christian, God sent David to be king, and or I should say
Saul.
Saul first. Saul was the appointed one, and then that goes south, and then he sends David, and then David sleeps with Bathsheba, and has Bathsheba's actual husband killed. So, like, David's supposed to be the good one in the story, but then he comes in and turns into the bad one. And I mean, that story just continues on and on and on. It kind of frustrates me when people think that in order to be put into a position, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, that in order for God to use people in any particular way, that the only way that that can be true is if those people are really, really great people. Like, God's using sinners, in my opinion, all the time, because we are all sinners. And God, in the Bible, repeatedly uses extremely broken people and extremely broken circumstances in order to carry out his will. So the idea that the president was put in the Oval Office as a mandate from heaven, I can kind of like see how you would. I don't know what Pat Robertson means there, so I can't say that he's right or he's wrong. But I believe that as a Christian, I believe that God is in charge of the universe. So I'm going to say that I know that God was aware that Trump was going to be president and he's allowing this to happen. But I also want to be very cautious when we use politics and political points to try to talk about what God wants and what God doesn't want. I kind of am of the belief that God wants people to know Christ, and that's pretty much the extent of it.
Well, this is what Pat Robertson does. I mean, his entire career, he has talked about politics and religion, which I think is fine. It's just you have to know there's going to be pushback for sure. And to use your sort of example of Saul and David, I think what he's saying here is that no, nobody's perfect, and Trump's not perfect either. I don't think that he was saying, well,
yeah,
I
don't think Pat's been making the case as of, like, up until October of 2019 to be like, wow,
he was flawless.
There's
now
something about
not.
This guy that I'm not so sure about anymore.
Yeah, but I think what he's saying is that there was an appointment given to Trump, and that appointment is much like Saul. God gave Saul an appointment, and it was taken away because Saul kept disobeying. Mm-hmm. He's saying Trump needs to stop disobeying or that appointment's going to be taken from him.
Yeah. Well, I just think that if I'm putting myself in the shoes of somebody who hears that and doesn't have a Christian faith to adhere to, is the president doing what he's doing because he's called by God, or is the president doing what he's doing because he of something else? And there's no way that I could know that. Mm-hmm. That's something that only Donald Trump can know. What did he cited some Bible verse on the campaign, and it was from a book that doesn't even exist, or he botched the name of the Bible book. And man, don't go pull the tapes, because I was not kind. And it was primary. I mean, like, I think there was still a pretty decent sized field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this guy, seriously?
Don't start talking about things that you can't get correct instantly.
I don't need you to be the exact same faith that I am to represent me in office, but I do need you to never, ever use my faith to pander to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am not looking for a worldly leader to try to cherry pick something out of scripture to throw at me and be like, well, if I quote the Bible, you're going to do whatever I say. It's not that simple. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Tony Colombo is going to join us in studio. And 314-241-9797 if you'd like to join us. Signs of the Apocalypse when we come back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now.
He should have just let it play.
What happened?
There are all sorts of weird things happening today.
This is my life story. Oh, okay.
I remember my first time on the radio.
I remember too. Here we go. Should I just do it now, or should we do? Okay.
I've lost control.
No, I like finding cannibals. Let's just do this.
It is
now. Signs of the Apocalypse on the Annie Fry Show.
Hi, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a Fine Young Cannibals fan are you outside of that song?
Oh, the Annie Fry Show.
What else do they sing?
That's a great question,
Annie.
I don't know.
They have an awesome version of Suspicious Minds, the Elvis song.
Doggone it.
Okay.
He knew something about him.
Yep. Yeah.
I thought he was going to say, I don't know, I've never heard anything else.
Yeah, they actually have another really good song, too, that I'm drawing a blank on. Oh, now I'm drawing a bronc.
Isn't it kind of possible that we could do Signs of the Apocalypse and just actually do the news?
Yeah.
Just like the regular news. Like, you could have, here's a slew of Florida man stories, or we could just go to D.C. and do D.C. stories. And
I would never want to live there. To Washington, D.C.? No.
Ugh.
No, thank you.
No offense to the D.C.ers.
Yes, no offense to anyone listening.
What you got, Cody?
I don't know if this is a sign of the apocalypse or if it's reason to celebrate.
Okay.
I guess it's all according to your perspective. A court in Germany has just ruled that hangovers count as an illness. And so you can't get in trouble.
In Germany?
For calling into work sick from being hungover.
That's terrible. Not in America.
I'm not making it up, Katie. Don't look at me like, Katie's like, you know what?
No,
you're up to something here.
I'm just hungover right now.
I'm not buying this for a second.
Don't give me my Alka-Seltzer.
It's Germany.
I'm just very critical of that. I don't think that should
You're
happen.
Critical of German courts in general, though. You have to acknowledge
that's
that.
That's true. I have been known for that.
I mean, it's Oktoberfest over there, everywhere, but particularly in Germany.
So you can call off work because you're hungover.
It's a legitimate, it has been determined in Germany that is a legitimate actual illness so you can use it.
This is where all the Democrats come in and go, every other civilized country
right.
recognizes hangovers as a legitimate excuse to not go to work.
So your boss
can't. Freeloaders.
If you use a sick day for being hungover, your boss can't hold it against you.
All right, Steve.
Right?
Well, getting some whiskey slush tonight.
Using a sick day seems okay. It's just that if it's...
You think if we go ask for a sick day because we drank too much the night before and I call in sick on a Tuesday
If you call in sick and you say, man, I'm throwing up, don't say the reason.
Well, yeah. But now you can say the reason.
Now you can be
that's
like,
it? That's
last
all that's
night
changed?
Was amazing. I got still drunk.
Night. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not coming to work and they can't do anything about it.
I think that the story is that it is in the law, it is legally recognized as a form of illness.
It's ridiculous.
Like I have the flu.
I've got the hangover.
I have mono.
Yep.
I got a hangover. Here's somebody you're going to hate. A guy called 911 to complain about an Amber Alert disturbing his nap.
No.
What?
How?
You know how your phone will
like
begin,
it just goes off?
Will begin beeping and...
And he was bothered.
Going crazy. He was sleeping.
He called whom?
911.
Oh my gosh.
To complain about the Amber Alert going out.
He's probably hungover.
And his phone going
staying
off.
Staying home from work.
And it waking him up from his nap.
That's a bad person.
Right?
That's a bad person.
Hey, you can be annoyed by an alert going off on your phone. You just don't call 911.
911, yes. Yes.
He was actually arrested
for like
criminal mischief.
Really?
For calling 911 when you're not supposed to.
Where is he from?
This is in Ontario, Canada.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
It seems a little extreme to arrest him.
No, arrest him.
Okay.
Arrest you should him for not being be calling 911 unless it's an actual emergency.
That's right.
You shouldn't be doing it.
Uh-huh. Just like you shouldn't be, you know, you get the cops going investigating a crime that you know isn't real. You should be
it's true.
Charged with that, mm-hmm. Jussie.
I think I identify with this guy, mm-hmm. though, because I have definitely gotten mad at my phone for going off while I was sleeping while a flash flood was going on once.
Flash floods?
I'm like, I don't live in a low area at all.
Right.
Why
I'm
are
sleeping.
You warning me?
I live on a mountain.
Exactly.
I'm up here on Mount Wiggins.
Come at me.
Your flooding warnings don't apply to me.
I've been mad, too, if an alarm goes off. I think that's normal.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know.
Hershey's has created a chocolate beer. That does not sound good to me.
I don't like beer enough to... Like, I'm not a beer connoisseur. So I don't know about mixing the two.
I
like beer.
It is available...
I still like beer.
Still like beer. Always. I like beer. We liked beer. Still like beer. Beer is available at bars and restaurants in the Midwest and the East Coast now through Valentine's Day. Hershey's made their first ever beer. They teamed up with the people who make Yingling beer. I've never even heard
Yingling?
Of that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yingling? Yingling?
It's Yingling.
Yingling.
It's Yingling.
Big deal.
Yep. It's a big deal. Never heard of it. But I'm not a big deal, so that doesn't surprise me. And they have made Yingling Hershey's Chocolate Porter. Ugh.
People will love it.
That sounds like yet another case of somebody going, hey, try this alcohol. It tastes just like whatever, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And I think,
why wouldn't I just eat some Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Fact. People say that about fish all the time. Taste it, you'll like it. It tastes just like chicken. Then just give me the chicken.
People say fish tastes like chicken?
When they want you to eat it.
You don't like fish?
Nope. You all right with that? I don't eat any seafood.
No, I'm coming in with Captain D's tomorrow.
No, you are not coming in with Captain D's.
It tastes just like chicken.
I don't want Captain D's to taste like chicken. I want KFC. I don't like when people mess with beer. I don't like when people have like orange flavored beer.
He's an angry elf.
Or lime flavored beer.
Right.
Just Blue Moon? Let it.
I like you.
That's okay. All right. But that's not my first choice.
Right.
It's going to be a Bud Light. Or a Budweiser.
You want a beer-flavored beer.
Yes, that's what I want.
Just let it
be original.
Couldn't agree more.
Whiskey or wine?
Wine.
Whiskey.
No, I'm just saying, see all the above.
Oh. Yeah, that too. That also.
Whiskey. Faux show.
Amen.
I'm not a wine person.
That's a bad hangover, let me tell you.
It is a bad hangover.
That's an immediate
you can take the day off now after you have it.
Man.
Tony, better not tell that story.
Tony's moving a little slower.
Yeah, better not tell that story.
You should have called off today.
I didn't have any wine last night. You guys see who the latest talk show host is in these United
Clarkson!
States?
No. Kelly Clarkson?
No.
Oh. Well, she is.
Nope.
Nope.
Two. Who?
Elmo.
Where?
On HBO.
Oh, because they own Sesame Street now. Is Elmo going to interview like real
people? Sesame Workshop is developing a talk show that will be hosted by Elmo. It's called The Not Too Late Show with Elmo. It will air on HBO's upcoming streaming service, HBO Max.
I like that. I think that's fun.
The Not Too Late Show with Elmo. He'll interview celebrity guests just like the other late night shows do.
As late night shows
production
are apt
begins
to do.
Next month. No word yet on a premiere date. HBO Max is expected to cost about $15 a month.
Don't you want to see Elmo interviewing people? Like, don't you want to see Elmo interviewing Joaquin Phoenix?
No.
Where's that going to go?
I think I could watch two or three episodes of that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then be done.
I'm interested to see what it is, and then I can't imagine continuing to watch it.
What it develops into.
Yeah.
And I would add that when I watch things like that, I only watch them in clips on Facebook. Like, I'm not subscribing to HBO to see that.
Same.
Like, I'm going to see the good interview that Elmo did, and I'm going to probably consume about 2% of what this project actually...
Who's the audience?
That's a great question. No idea.
It's on HBO Max.
Parents with small children.
I think they're just trying to get people to subscribe to HBO Max because nobody is.
I think that's a fact.
Disney Plus, baby.
You know what I saw? I saw a survey. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was like 60% of people said that they would drop Disney Plus if it meant that they had to get rid of Netflix.
They choose Netflix over
Disney Plus.
No, they won't. They don't realize what Disney owns.
They don't realize what Disney is.
That's right. You do.
You know what? That's actually...
Tony texted me from the Disney outlet store last night a picture of him in there and said he was staying there until he got to go to Disney World in 2 weeks.
I'm living in the outlet store until I go because it's not even 2 weeks. It's more like 10 days.
Oh, no way.
Tony is going to...
Tony, I'm happy for you.
Tony is going to ride a scary ride and video himself doing it.
Mm.
For the station.
If I ride a scary ride, I will video myself doing it.
Do you want to tell the people how much of a wimp you really are?
I'm pretty open about this.
You don't do rides? Like Six Flags or anything?
I don't do roller coasters, no.
Really?
No.
Is this been a lifelong thing?
Yes.
No kidding.
You don't know what you're missing.
I do.
No, there's no way you can.
Fear. I'm missing fear.
No, you have fear. You're living in fear. You're shrouded in terror.
I have no interest in that.
You know, if
you couldn't drag me onto Space Mountain.
I don't think I have. I used to love roller coasters, and then I developed motion sickness. So
what's
I'm,
the most
I'm with you.
Intense ride you've ever one. Ridden at Six Flags
Ninja.
St. Louis? The Ninja.
Oof,
were you a teenager?
That's bad.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was I'm done with roller coasters.
Yeah. I'm not going on Scream Eagle, not going on The Boss.
Dave Glover show coming up. Anything fun happening specifically or just
the
usual laughs?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right, check out our podcast at radio.com, iTunes, wherever you get podcasts, DGS up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.